Frank, when you think fairway, you think fresh. Is that the winning culture you've tried to create?
Penelope Pineapple, what an unbelievable produce performance. How does your team stay so fresh?
Sun-kissed orange. Is it true Fairway has offered the freshest produce in town since 1938?
What can we say? Our produce is so fresh, we're speechless.
At the Carl Auto Group Collision Centers, we make it easy. Our expert Platinum iCard technicians use the latest technology and innovations to repair any make or model of vehicle on the road. Multiple locations in Iowa to get you back on the road faster. Get your free estimate today, in person or online at carlauto.com.
Your dealer for life, it's the Carl way.
Hey guys, it's Chris Williams here with Cyclone Fanatic telling you about one of my favorite companies that I've worked with, and I hire them all the time. Country Landscapes, they're located up in Ames, but they have offices in Eastern Iowa as well, over in North Liberty, got one up in Clear Lake. I've hired Country Landscapes to do all the landscaping in my front yard, but I've also hired them to come over and give me advice on planting trees in my front and backyard, stuff I don't really know about. But boy, the folks at Country Landscapes are experts in this field. They also have a skilled stonemason division that creates outdoor living and cooking spaces. That's something I need to look into. Check them out. Country Landscapes. You want that dream fire pit in your backyard? That's an idea for this spring. Country Landscapes, supporting our March Madness coverage of the Cyclones here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is fueled by Cody Road and recorded in the Wild Rose Casino and Hotel Studio.
All right, what is up, everybody? I am being joined by Rob Gray, who's doing a little side swiping. How's it going, buddy?
I had to go grab my coffee, man. It's been a busy time. I mean, between the men's incredible run at the Big 12 tournament, and which apparently meant nothing to the selection committee, and grabbing my coffee, and we got football availability, wrestling availability today. I've been sick for like a week and a half, so let's roll, baby.
Absolutely. This is the women's basketball NCAA tournament preview show. Obviously, I'm Connor Ferguson. Rob is Rob Gray. We're going to break down everything about Iowa State's selection, what we heard from Coach Finley, barely. We'll get to that. Addie Brown and Hannah Bellinger yesterday. Really quick, Rob, I feel old today. Can I say that? Are you... That's still a soft subject.
You can't say it to me because I just turned 55 years old.
Okay, but so it's like the bracket comes out.
My birthday, Connor.
And I have this conundrum every year, and this is fourth, fifth year for me having it. I don't own a printer. I have to text my friend. I have to say, hey, I want to pick up some brackets later. Can you print me some paper brackets?
And of course, he's not old.
He's like, how many brackets do you need?
Having a printer makes you old.
Well, and then I pick the WNIT and, you know, the CBI and the CIT because those tournaments matter too, just like
that just makes you dumb. And you didn't even wish me happy birthday after I emphatically said, you're telling me you're feeling old, 25 years old, and I just turned 55 freaking years old. How about a happy birthday?
I don't think before I speak most of the time, so
okay.
I forgot to put that one up there. But happy birthday, right. Rob. I appreciate right. you. Rob you. Was the first person to wish me a happy birthday, so now I can feel... Kind of feel bad.
Yeah, well, you should. But I'll forgive you.
I feel good. I feel good about where Iowa State got selected. At the very least, I'm going to California for the first time. That'll be a cool experience. So they're in Stanford's pod. If you don't know by now, and I think you should, on the women's side, the top 16 seeds in the tournament host the first few rounds. Obviously, Iowa State has in the past. Iowa State's the 7th seed this year, going up against number 10 Maryland on Friday at Stanford, which I'm still confused on if the city is Stanford or Palo Alto, because Google says different things than everyone else tells me. It is Palo Alto. You're yes. The tiebreaker for anything that I have a conundrum on, so I got you there.
They might have a... everything I've ever heard of Stanford University is in Palo Alto, California.
Yeah, it's one of the weirder ones. But anyway,
it's a weird part of the world, man.
To talk actual hoops, Iowa State gets the 7 seed. We were watching that selection show, and I'm not just going to sit here and drag on the committee the whole episode, that, though I could. And you guys were kind of talking about where Iowa State might end up. Baylor was a five. West Virginia and Kansas are both eights. And Iowa State's in the middle there at seven. Obviously, some different losses on different resumes and stuff like that. But pretty, you know, I think after losing to Texas, I think we all kind of said ceiling seven seed. So Iowa State gets, on the women's side, the seed that, you know, they were kind of, supposed to qualify for on the high end. So that's at the very least good news, avoiding one of those top four teams that perennially can do a lot of damage.
Well, yeah, and I think deservedly so. They're off the 8 or 9 line. Obviously, the Cyclones struggled in the non-conference, got off to that incredible start, 6-0 with an asterisk with the TCU forfeit before the rough stretch, and then the great close down the home stretch where they all got together, the famous Bill Fennelly's always got, I didn't want to call it a gimmick, a scheme, a stratagem to just get his team to focus on certain segments. And that four-game little window, boy, that really worked. And they were great there. They were great in the first two games in Kansas City. And just it was that buzzsaw situation against Texas. Bad matchup for Iowa State, lost by 21 in Austin, I believe. And similar type of game where they just couldn't stay in there. Blackwell was so good. And others, I mean, you just tip your hat there. And that win was good for Texas. I think it's a very good chance Stanford's the number one seed if Texas doesn't win the Big 12 tournament. And so they were highly motivated to, knowing that was probably possible to get onto that one line. So, just a remarkable season for the Iowa State women, all things considered. And, you know, to have an opportunity to go and play one of Coach Fennelly's team coached by one of Coach Fennelly's proteges, Brenda Fries, who, of course, sister Stacy played on some of Fennelly's greatest early teams in terms of once they got, rolling after a couple of years. The committee always says they don't consider storylines, men's and women's. And I always say people often stretch the truth or obscure the truth. There are just too many storylines, particularly you always find on the women's side of the bracket, the women's bracket, that kind of neat. I think Coach Fennelly said what in his voice, and what a job by him to come out and actually talk to us. With his voice, the situation.
Rob, you've taken the next 10 minutes of my rundown and summarized it all in the same answer.
Okay, well, you take over.
No, you're good. Yeah, Coach Fenn lost his voice. So he still came down and tried to answer some questions. I put a clip of it up, just kind of the first part of it. Every time you put anything up with, like, moderate audio issues, the comments are filled with just...
They're angry. They're angry that you took the time to try. They're angry that you took the time to try to give them some good content.
Yeah. So Coach Fennelly tried his best to talk to us in a very hushed voice. It's a complication from a past form of throat cancer, from what he told us. It's something that reoccurs every now and then. So, good thing. Thank you to Coach. He didn't have to do that. He first came in with a whiteboard, and I was prepared to ask questions and see him write the answer down, question by question. And I think that would have been a great visual. But it's March. He'll have to recover by, Friday, and you hope he gets there. I hope we didn't take too much of his juices as far as that goes to get his team ready at the very least.
Well, the last time this happened, he coached with almost like flashcards or with and again, it is fortunately, I mean, from talking to him, it doesn't sound like it's anything to be scared of. It's just, again, like I said, complication, something that does pop up time and again because of what happened.
Tell me about this when he coached with flashcards, because I don't remember it off the top of my head.
Well, or he had used
whiteboards and stuff.
He really went through. Excuse me, Coach Steyer, Coach Shaman, they knew the game plan. He also talks about how he's got the greatest staff there is too, with him, Billy, etc. So Harper, I can't remember exactly when it was, but there was a time where he kind of lost his voice again. It kind of tends to happen this time of year at times. And they made their way through that. And I'm sure they will again, even if his voice isn't completely back. It came out. They were just such interesting facts. He would have done it too. Text me any questions. I will answer them all. And he's like first telling us that. And then it's just kind of like, all right, go ahead. Let's just try this, you know? And then he answered like six questions. So that's Bill.
Yeah, absolutely. And then obviously, yeah, you talk about how many storylines you see everywhere in the NCAA tournament. And you're like, man, that's crazy those two teams got matched up. Like, what are the odds of that? And it's like, pretty heavily favored on the weighted dice. But Bill Finlay taking on his former assistant in Brenda Fries and a Maryland team plays a four guard lineup. I really like this matchup for Iowa State looking at this, but what do we have a prediction on what jersey Stacy is going to wear? It's gotta be Iowa State, right? That was Bill's first question. Bill asked us questions last night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. What do they say? You got family to weigh. You got where you played to weigh. I think since the game's being played, excuse me. Again, I said I got a cold. I apologize. Audio issues. I got to think she'd wear the Iowa State jersey. But I guess that's just an added storyline to this
absolutely
first-round matchup.
So she got to – Stacy got to Iowa State the year before Brenda left, if I read those years correctly. Obviously, I was 1 year old when they were both there. But I can imagine that would have been really cool to play under your sibling that's coaching the team. I think that's a remarkable story. And she was a really good player in Iowa State's program history. So it's a really historical matchup. And, you know, take it from what Bill said. He said Brenda's family and, you know, he's going to be happy at the end of the game because one of them is going to move on with a win. So I thought that was cool. It's unique. Obviously, that sense of humor comes in. But to really break this down, I love this matchup for the type of style Iowa State plays now. Drastically different than 2 years ago, even last year to an extent. But Maryland has two posts, and that's the extent of their depth. Yeah. On that position. They are going to have a tough time dealing with Audie Crooks. Names escaping me, even though I wrote it down three times. Ali Kubek and Emma Chardone, I believe is how to pronounce those. They're both 6'2". Not stellar numbers for either of them. Not saying they're terrible or trying to do that crap or anything. But Audie Crooks is playing at right now, if she performs like she has and doesn't have, you know, that the first 15 minutes of the Texas game for Audie were really, really bad. If she keeps playing at the level she's playing for the other 105 minutes in those three tournament games, Iowa State should have a good advantage to start this one off.
Yeah, I mean, she's the thing Coach Finley said when she had signed that they never had, you know, this big, potentially physical, skilled post that has the type of moves that very few opposing post players can contend with.
Cyclone Fanatic would like to welcome a new partner to our family of advertisers, Central States Roofing, which is based out of Ames. Central States Roofing is a proud family-owned company. Dates back to 1968. It is owned and operated by lifelong Cyclone fans and Iowa State supporters. My favorite thing about Central States Roofing is that 100% of their employees are local. They do not subcontract any of their work. Central States Roofing handles commercial projects within a 75-mile radius of Ames, Des Moines, and Fort Dodge. Cyclone Fanatic thanks them for sponsoring our coverage of the Cyclones this March. You can learn more about this great Cyclone-owned company at csroofing.com.
I think, by the way, you mentioned their post play. Excuse me. They can score a little bit, but The team leader in blocked shots is their star guard, Shane Sellers. So, I mean,
Cheyenne, I think.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Cheyenne. You know, she's great. 1.3 steals a game. 16
she's
points,
a hell of a player.
Six and assists. What's up?
She's 23rd in the country in assists. I believe her three-point numbers were good. And then they have two players, Bree McDaniel and Brené Alexander, that are both 39% from the three-point line. They have a ton of talent in the higher side of their rotation. The deal is for Iowa State is the transition offense is going to have to be clicking and try to run through, you know, a limit of depth to an extent of where the talent is on this team.
Yeah, Kubek shoots at 43%. Obviously not the volume that you're looking at from Sellers, McDaniels, and Alexander. But, I mean, Maryland will want to run. Maryland wants to – it's kind of seems a little bit like Iowa State, you know, when they don't have a big. Or, you know, I mean, they've gone through rough stretches. I think they've had injuries at times, but a four-game losing streak, you know, fairly maybe midway through – Big Ten play, and they won two of their last three, including a 21-point win, as Coach Fenley referenced, last night against number four Ohio State. So they're talented, and they can score. But I think when Iowa State gets them in the half court and gets Audie Crooks in place, as you mentioned, I don't think they have anything that can come close to stopping her. So You think that's not only a wild card, you think that's almost a decisive factor for Iowa State. As long as they can afford a ton of live ball turnovers, excuse me, and the sorts of things that can really bother you against a team that's athletic and can shoot it and likes to run.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Rob. I'm going to give you a second. Take a drink of water.
Yeah.
Clear your throat. You're good. And I want to tell everyone about a new partner to our family of advertisers, Central States Roofing, which is based out of Ames. Central States Roofing is a proud family-owned company dating back to 1968. It's owned and operated by lifelong Cyclone fans and Iowa State supporters. My favorite thing about Central States Roofing, 100% of their employees are local. They don't subcontract any of their work. Central States Roofing handles commercial projects within a 75-mile radius of Ames, Des Moines, and Fort Dodge. So Cyclone Fanatic, I would like to thank them for sponsoring our coverage of the Cyclones this March. Learn more about this great Cyclone-owned company at csroofing.com. All right, and got to move on now, but do you want to talk Stanford? I think we should.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Cameron Brink. And that matchup is really exciting to me. Just
yeah.
What they're able to do. And I said, I compared earlier, I should have corrected myself. The top four thing that I'm pointing at, Stanford easily could have been a one seed. I think 10 years ago, there was a much bigger difference between the top four overall teams in the tournament on the women's side and anyone below them. I think that gap has really shrunk this year. And I even think, you know, South Carolina is really the only, here's a tier above, and then we go down to tier two. And obviously, you know, tier numbers and all that jazz. But I really am excited to see what Stanford brings if they do end up matching up with the Cyclones in the second round. And obviously, Iowa State's plan with Chris called it house money. I think that's to an extent. I think their plan with, you know, no pressure anymore and this confidence in them that other teams haven't really had, but they're lacing it up against, you know, they don't care how good of a program, how good of a team they're headed up with. They believe they can win the game. They believe they can do anything that they want and win any game that they want. And you saw it on that 6-game win streak that got them in the Big 12 championship. They just had 15 minutes of bad basketball and took them out of the game. So you can avoid the scoreless stretches. Much has been a common theme, especially earlier in the season. It's a different team, especially when they're playing with no pressure.
Yeah. That would be if they are able to get past Maryland, which I think we both agree they play well, that will happen. Stanford is tough, like you said. I mean, Brink, she's been good for 4 years and averaged 18, 12, 3.5 blocks a game. I mean, that is going to be, that will be, if the Cyclones get past Maryland and Stanford isn't, so it doesn't suffer a monumental type upset, the by far probably best challenge Audie Crooks would face. And how great, I mean, yeah, you want to go deep in the tournament, you want to win, but how great for her as a freshman who's already proved a lot of people wrong, and as she said a few weeks back, proved a lot of people right who believed in her too. You know, to get that level of challenge in a second-round NCAA tournament game, I mean, but Stanford's good across the board. I mean, I can't pronounce her last name, but Kiki, I'm just going to say Kiki. Man, she can sure score it and shoot it at 40% from three. So Stanford's a complete team. And what, like you alluded to, Connor, it wasn't that long ago that maybe outside of the top one or two or three number one seeds, you thought no one had a shot to win the NCAA women's basketball tournament. Well, yeah. Now you see teams on the three line. You see teams on the three line where you're like, they could win it. So, I mean, I think that's really exciting for the sport, because there was a long stretch where it was either UConn or, okay, maybe Stanford was there, maybe Notre Dame.
I thought you were about to say okay State, and I was like, what year was this?
Yeah, another team. But now you're seeing, you know, schools devote more to these programs, and you're developing players better, you're finding players better, and, you know, the quality of play. Games were great in the early Fenley era, you know, when Stacey Brees was playing, man, they were fun to watch. But a lot of teams, a lot of programs weren't anywhere near that level. Now there are dozens and dozens and dozens of programs that are playing an exciting brand of basketball and have really skilled players. So that's a really fun thing about this tournament. It would be a massive upset if Iowa State were to get by Stanford if they were to face themselves in the second round. But that's what's fun about it too, because they've done that before in the tournament. And, you know, I think we're going to see more and more year after year some of those massive upsets in the women's tournament that were non-existent a few years ago, just like we see on the men's side.
Yeah, and I think part of that is, you know, the sport gaining in popularity a little bit. Obviously, that's a longer-term investment, but the more girls that go out and play basketball and enjoy basketball and turn into, you know, D1 players is going to enrich, you know, the player pool and bring everyone closer together. That's just a natural thing. It takes a lot longer in college basketball because there's 350 teams, but you get the point. I do really think, obviously we saw it with Emily Ryan's team, her freshman year, right? That was the Texas A&M game that came down the wire, went to overtime in San Antonio in the bubble.
That sounds right. But again, I just turned 55, Connor.
I know. I'm trying to make sure that my mind's still working at a high clip. No one's ever accused me of that, but, no. So they printed the Remember the Alamo shirts and stuff. And this is a bit nuanced, but for a freshman team to go and see, and this is a freshman group that it's five of them. If you can obviously retain all of them, and that's also a tall ask these days, but if you can retain all of them, it's a tight group already. They talk about how tight, without us even asking about chemistry, they bring it up ad nauseum, as Bill Finley likes to say. And if you can, you know, you're a seven seed now. No one is looking at it like this. The team does not base their season off what seed they are in the NCAA tournament, trust me. But you're a seven seed, and your goal is going to be to improve on that every season. And as long as you're doing that, I mean, I guarantee that one of the biggest goals for next year's team is going to be hosting the NCAA tournament again. Mm-hmm. So if you can, you know, work your way up and build, the future is really bright for this team, obviously. And Emily Ryan coming back next year, and Allie Tanke and Regan Wilson coming in as the commits. So really probably one of the best times in the program's history to be an Iowa State women's basketball fan.
Yeah, to transfer from LSU, sit out transfer on the bench.
Yeah, Alyssa Williams.
So, I mean, this season, at some point we'll get a chance to ask Coach Finley, but it had to have been, there were times of really low lows coming into it, given some of the key players who left, and all that. But the highs must have been watching these freshmen come in, bond like they did immediately, and navigate through some tough games without Emily Ryan. I mean, there were tough. Remember the first half of the Drake game? I mean, they're just turning it over left and right. I mean, they were kind of deer in the headlights moments, and yet they come back. What were they down, 19, 20? I mean, they were down big, and they kept back. I don't know if they got it. They might have gotten it to one possession. They got it at least like 5 points.
Yeah, it was below five. I can't remember the number off the top of my head. I forgot they made the comeback.
Yeah, I mean, but that was – to show the type of fight they have, and then to give Iowa the game they gave Iowa in Hilton. That this is a team that can scrap. This team, extremely talented. Audie Crooks, extremely talented. A really good passer out of the post. Can't hit the three. Got a little three happy at times. But that's just going to continue to develop for her as she gets better on the defensive end, too. And Addie Brown is as skilled a freshman as I've seen at Iowa State. You know, does it all. Doesn't always have great shooting nights, but even when she doesn't do that, she's rebounding and assisting at a high rate. Then you throw in, I don't think anyone thought Arianna Jackson would contribute as impressively.
How big was it? Obviously, it's not a positive to have Emily Ryan not playing in the game, but to have her on the bench helping coach Arianna and that coaching staff helping develop her, and how much playing time she got early certainly has helped her excel and get better at a really fast rate.
Yeah, and I mean, I think she also – you know, Finley talks about family background all the time. I mean, father played for Dan McCartney football, you know, brother played for Matt Campbell. They're at every game, you know, she's got that support and she's had that work ethic that at Des Moines Roosevelt. So, I mean, people underestimated her, and that's another theme of this team we talked about and they were asked about Addie Brown and Hannah Bellinger specifically yesterday. And they take that to heart and they've run with it, and it's really been a remarkable season. I think if you would have asked any Iowa State women's basketball fan, when you looked at what the Emily Ryan can't play for whatever reason at the time, and we got to play the five freshmen all the time.
You have 10 players that haven't played Division I basketball before.
And Naidoo, it's gone through some things.
Power five, I have to specify.
Yeah. So your two most experienced players, one can't play and one is going through some stuff of her own. So to be a 7 seed in the NCAA tournament in those circumstances, fans should be ecstatic for that. Great coaching job, but more so I'd say a credit to the grit and the determination and the togetherness of this team, this young team.
If I botch that stat, someone let me know. Shoot me a message on Twitter because I gotta run to football in a second. But sorry if I did. I think it's 10. I was counting in my head. I'm like, I don't know. So I may have botched that stat. But anyways, if you're listening to this, appreciate you. Appreciate Caliber that presents all of our postseason women's basketball coverage to send me out to Palo Alto, California to cover this pod. It's not a region, right?
Well, it's
bracket,
part of the
bracket, regional, yeah, bracket it's, tournament. Yes, it's a March Madness galore extravaganza. Yeah. There you go. Thanks again for listening. It's a fantastic time to be not only an Iowa State fan, but specifically an Iowa State women's basketball fan. So we appreciate you guys for listening, and thanks for tuning in.